Praise the Lord. This is Tony Alamo. We're reading through the Bible. This is the book of Leviticus, and we're on chapter 18 today. Let's ask the Lord to anoint chapter 18. Lord, we ask that you anoint chapter 18 and the lessons that you want us to learn from it. Lord, teach us today. Lord, open the windows of heaven and let us know. Lord, we know that there is so many things that are going on in the world that are evil, and we know that Satan is working overtime because he knows that his time is short to brainwash people into believing that sexual practices that they're doing today are okay. Sex without the virtue of being married, adultery, fornication, homosexuality, lesbianism, bestiality, every foul, evil practice that is written in your book. Even incest is like on the rampart today. And a lot of this is caused from the media approving it, the school system. And we just watched a tape today, a couple of them, which I'm distributing throughout the church so people can see how evil the music is that they're playing today. And I thank and praise you, Lord, for getting me out of the music business just when this sort of thing started happening. People selling their souls to the devil if he will give them talent. In this tape, we see that they prayed to Satan. Well, they had no talent before, and then they did have a type of satanic talent that satanic people love to hear. Their voices to me are so screechy, it's unbelievable, and they're ugly looking people. And there are people that, most of them are ugly. And they are singing songs that are so vile, telling praises to Satan, and we don't care if we die, and hell is a groovy place, and which all these lies that Satan is telling through music, and that all my friends are going to hell and I want to go there fast, and oh please Satan, send my soul to hell fast. All these things, and that who made the rules anyway, and why do we have to keep rules, and you know, let's have free sex and all these things. These are evil thoughts that Satan is bombarding the brains, the cells of the youth today. And you'd think that most of the adults, Father, would know better than to believe such things as this, because we've lived long enough to see the ruin that has happened and the millions of abortions, actual first degree murders that are happening every year right here in the United States of America because of this satanic output of music and films and all the things that people shouldn't be listening to. And as I send these tapes to the church, we played the films for several of the people out here yesterday, and they are still sobbing, not just crying, but sobbing because of what they saw. The little arms of babies that were dissected in their mother's wombs, and the heads punctured, and the little sweet faces just dead. And it showed also the abortionist's hand in the womb, and this little baby trying to fight back, grabbed hold of the abortionist's hand to stop it from killing it. These are things that people should see. Also, all the things that they're saying, how that drugs are so groovy and that they're good, and how that so many people have died from them, like Elvis Presley. And it just shows like hundreds of these things on this motion picture. And I think it's very good, Lord, for the people at the church to see it. It's brought a lot of them to a reality that they never had before. And it's very necessary for the world to see the unlawful sexual practices. And it's good for people to see how Satan is conning the world into believing that, quote, thou shalt not die, thou shalt not surely die. So, Lord, teach these lessons to us in this 18th chapter of Leviticus. And, Lord, let it be a lesson that people will remember and that they will learn to never practice any of these practices in their entire life, that they continue on in the spiritual with you in the name, mighty name of Jesus, our Lord and Savior, who tells us the truth, in Jesus' name. And everyone says amen.
Amen.
Okay, go ahead.
Leviticus chapter 18, Forbidden Sexual Practices, King James Version, verse 1. And the Lord spake unto Moses, saying, verse 2, speak unto the children of Israel, and say unto them, I am the Lord your God.
And these are the things that God, who made us out of the dirt of the ground, and blew his spirit, his breath, his life into us, knows what is best for us, and what we're supposed to do, and what we're not supposed to do. And any of these practices that people do, they eventually die. They die. They said that the average life of humans today is around 75 to 80 years old. But homosexuals, their lifespan is around 43, the average. A lot of them die a lot younger. And kids on drugs, it just shows them left and right dying where they're very young. From the ages of, like, they give them drugs. Some of them are born dead because the parents take drugs. It kills any possibility in their bodies to be able to have children. And so God knows us better than anyone, and he knows, like he told me when I wanted to smoke again after 17 years of not smoking, it was 19 years of not smoking, and I wanted to, he said, I never made the human body to smoke. And if people do it, they're deliberately destroying the temple of God, because there's just one motion picture star after the other. Look, doesn't have to be motion picture stars, but they're more in the public eye than just Don Sweat or Joe Doe, okay? And they died. Yul Brynner, Sammy Davis Jr., Frank Sinatra. There's thousands of them that have died from smoking, cancer of the throat. And I mentioned, it goes to show just how bright these people are. Even after hearing that they're lacing the tobacco with nuclear waste and also the same gas that they gassed the Jews to death with, they still continue smoking. And even after seeing all these people die of cancer, they really don't care about the bad testimony that they're projecting into the world. They don't care if people see them or smell the smoke on their breath or what they're doing to their body. They don't care that God is seeing them. God sees you. He's the Lord God, and he told me these things. And it doesn't really make any difference to you. He says, he told me, if you smoke one more cigarette, you'll die. I really believe it now, because I have a bad upper respiratory system. This paper plant out here in this area doesn't seem to affect any of the other people around me, but I have this chronic cough. Just thinking about it makes me want to clear my throat. And I know that if I would have smoked one more cigarette, the Lord would have killed me. And there's still people in the church that smoke. And a couple of them, two or three that I know of. And, it's not going to work. God said he never built the body to be able to handle smoke. Otherwise, he probably would have put a chimney in the top of your head. And so I quit instantly when he said that, because I believe God when he says something that'll happen. And the same thing with incest and fornication and adultery. and to have lascivious thoughts on your mind even, the Lord will kill you. All right, go ahead. If you don't repent, he'll kill you. Go ahead.
Verse 3. After the doings of the land of Egypt, wherein ye dwelt, shall ye not do.
Right, in other words, you shall not do these evil sexual practices like the Africans do. The Africans, you know, the Africans came about because Ham uncovered his father's nakedness. He had anal sex with him. That's exactly what that means. And so God turned him black. And I don't know whether you notice it or not, but there's just a lot of that going on in the black America, and now it's spread into white America and Caucasian America. It's definitely into the Hispanics, and homosexuality is rampant in there. And it's something that the Lord can easily take care of if anyone, it doesn't make any difference if you're black, white, Spanish, Chinese or Japanese or Indian, whatever. If the Spirit of the Lord is in you, the same Spirit that holds the earth up, it'll give you the power to abstain from these things. Amen?
Amen.
All right, let's go.
And after the doings of the land of Canaan, whither I bring you, shall ye not do. Neither shall ye walk in their ordinances. Verse 4. Ye shall do my judgments and keep my ordinances, to walk therein. I am the Lord your God.
And he's telling us these things, not to deprive us of anything, but to so that our souls, that we don't become corrupt, and that we live a long time on this earth, and more than that, that we spend eternity in the kingdom of heaven. Because if you disobey God, you're going to hell, and you're going to the lake of fire. Then what else?
Verse 5, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, which if a man do, he shall live in them. I am the Lord.
See, you'll live if you... but if you don't, what's the opposite of living? Dying. Amen?
Amen.
And then what?
Verse 6.
And people just think it's so cool to do what Satan has got people doing. And there's a chance that they stand up, that they pray to Satan. It also comes from Africa, this beat and Jamaica and all those places. These are actually Buddhist chants and other type of chantings, witchcraft and all that sort of stuff. And it has just hypnotized people into believing that it's real groovy and cool. If you think Satan is groovy and cool, well, then you'll spend eternity with him. I don't think he's groovy and cool. I think he's disgusting and filthy, just like the Lord thinks about him. Okay, then what else?
Verse 6. None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him.
No incest, in other words. Can't have sex with your sister, can't have sex with your brother, your mother, your dad, your cousins even. Your grandchildren, your grandfather, your grandmother, none of these things. And today there's grandparents that are, you know, in their 30s, even in their 20s. Okay, then what? I'd be in their 30s, I reckon. Okay, then what?
None of you shall approach to any that is near of kin to him to uncover their nakedness.
Not even to uncover the nakedness means, uncovering their nakedness means that you're having sexual relationships with them. So, I've never, ever seen the nakedness of any of my kin, my sons, my daughters, my brothers. No such thing as that. I had never had any desire to do that. That is so common and evil and wicked and satanic. It would disgust me to see something like that. I've never seen my sons. I've never seen my daughters, and I never want to. Okay, then what?
I am the Lord. Verse 7. The nakedness of thy father or the nakedness of thy mother shalt thou not uncover.
Well, the nakedness of Ham's father he saw. That means he had sexual relationships with him. That's what the Hebrew term, to uncover the nakedness of your father. His nakedness was already uncovered, but he didn't turn his eyes away from him like his other two brothers did. And that his son, Canaan, became the first black man. And since then, that was the black race. So let's face it, we all come from Noah. Where did the black people come from? Noah was Caucasian. All the sons were Caucasian, even Ham. So it's a curse. And the Jews, they have a curse on them for rejecting the Lord Jesus Christ. Some of the Jews did. And there's a curse on everybody in the world for not receiving the Lord Jesus Christ. And there's a curse on everybody in the world now that this African black magic garbage and their jungle beats and their filthiness and corruption has spread into every nationality and race of people. They've contaminated, Satan has used them to contaminate the whole world, and not only them, but others as well. Okay, then what?
She is thy mother. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
Thou shalt not have sexual relationships with her. Then what?
Verse 8. The nakedness of thy father's wife shalt thou not uncover. It is thy father's nakedness.
Right. In the Hebrew it says, with any of your father's wives. So in that statement alone, is the Lord is saying that some men God has given several wives to, two or more. Such as Samuel's mother and his dad, rather his dad, and Gideon, David, some of the greatest people that ever lived on the face of this earth, and Solomon. And the list goes, Moses himself, Zipporah, and the Ethiopian woman, and others. There's three mentioned in the Bible. But the Lord doesn't mention everything either. All right, then what else?
Verse 9. The nakedness of thy sister, the daughter of thy father, or daughter of thy mother, whether she be born at home or born abroad.
Okay, it's mentioning the daughter of your mother, the daughter of your father, because even though it has they have a different a mother, they both have the same father, so it's still your sister. It's like your half-sister. But you're not to have sexual relationships with the daughter of your father's wife, okay? Any of your father's wives, if your father has more than one wife, okay? And what else? Even just because they're not 100% sisters, that doesn't mean anything. Now, you might say, well, what about the ones in the Bible before, like Abraham? But that was before the law. There was no law against it back then. But then with Moses, when he came several years later, then there was a law. God gave him the law that this cannot be any longer. During those days, there was not much population on the earth. And what about Cain and Abel? Well, Cain had to marry his sister. In the book of Adam and Eve, which a lot of people may not believe is scriptural, but I do. There are a couple of impediments in the book, but the rest of it, I know the Holy Spirit, and it's true, that both of them had twin sisters. Cain had a twin sister, and so did Abel. And there are many children that Adam had, Adam and Eve had, that are not mentioned in the Bible. They don't mention all the different children names of Gideon, all of his sons' names. It's ridiculous. There's no need for it. Just the ones that stood out, the ones that did something that were remarkable, that were worthy of remarking about, all right? All right, so let's continue on.
Even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover.
You're not even supposed to look at their nakedness. Okay, then what?
Verse 10. The nakedness of thy son's daughter, or of thy daughter's daughter, even their nakedness thou shalt not uncover.
No, I've never seen the nakedness of one of my grandchildren. And I don't want to. I never will, and never would. It's just disgusting to me. Okay, and so let's go into the translation.
Okay, the last of that verse. For theirs is thine own nakedness.
Yeah, it's like part of your family, for God's sake. Okay? Then what?
Commentary, verse 1 through 10. Forbidden sexual practices. Verse 1. Then the Lord said to Moses, verse 2.
Aren't you happy that the Lord tells you what you can and can't do? Because some people are doing this ignorantly, and they need to know that this is going to send their soul to hell. And you say, well, if they don't know about it, it's our job to tell them about it. Amen?
Amen.
Because the Lord hates this. He'll kill them one way or the other for doing it. Even they got to hear about it. Because then we're in jeopardy. We're going to die if we don't tell them. Paul said, woe be unto me if I don't tell this gospel, okay, if I don't preach it. And this is the gospel means the truth. So this is the truth of the word of God. Amen?
Amen.
So woe be if Paul, if it's going to be woe to Paul, it's going to be woe to you also. God doesn't have to list all the names of the people in the world that it'll be woe to. But let me tell you, that woe be to anyone that knows the truth and doesn't say anything about it. It says that in the Bible too. That if you don't tell people, that the Lord will take you and have you burnt. He said, if you don't bear fruit. Okay, that means if you don't dispense His word. And that He's called us to dispense His word, the truth, all these things to the whole world. And He says, preach all these, this truth, the gospel to the whole world, the truth of these scriptures. And those that believe that you're supposed to do it because I, God, said so. I, Jesus, who am God, said so. If you don't believe it, you be damned. And those that believe it shall be saved. You're saved if you do, and you're damned if you don't. So that's woe unto us if we don't preach it, all right? Not just Paul. Okay? He says, I am the vine, you are the branches. If you don't bear fruit, and you can only bear fruit by preaching the gospel, he says, then men will come and break that branch off, take you off, and throw you into the fire. So everyone has been called to be a teacher, a preacher of the word. Teaching, it takes time for you to learn to teach, but you can sure read these scriptures to people, and you can play these tapes for people so that they'll know. I mean, I've met so many people since I've been in the ministry that have had incest with their dads, girls that have had incest with their dads, and men that have had incest with their mothers and with their sisters. It's just almost commonplace for sisters and brothers to have sex with each other. And brothers have been trying to have sex with their sisters and weren't able to because of certain impediments. But this type of thing, this incest, is on the rampant. And I've seen magazines that talk that men should have sexual relationships with their daughters to get to prepare them to not hate sex when they get older and things like that. Right in the Cosmopolitan magazine and other magazines like that. And so it's on the rise, and we need to tell people, don't listen to Cosmopolitan magazine. It's a filthy, dirty, rotten little rag sheet that tells of people's fantasies and all sort of things like that. But we have to compel people to hear the word and to read the word, because this is the Lord your God that tells you the right things to save your soul, okay, then what? And gives you the power within you to be able to do it. Okay, go ahead.
Verse 1, then the Lord said to Moses, verse 2, say this to your people, the Israelites, I, the Lord, am your God. Verse 3.
So that means he's just signifying, I'm God, I'm the one that you're supposed to listen to. That's why I keep saying, I'm God, I'm the one that made you out of the dirt and blew my your life into you, into your nose. And I'm the one that you're going to meet when you die, when that breath goes out of your body. And so you have to listen to me. That's why he's saying that. Then what?
Verse 3, so do not act like the people in Egypt where you used to live, or like the people of Canaan where I am taking
See,
you.
He's saying don't act like the Africans. That's all. It used to be Africa, Canaan land where Israel is. And that's Africa all around them. Because those Arabs are part African and part Hebrew. Hagar was from Africa. Amen?
Amen.
And Abraham, that's where that race came from. The Bible calls it the bastard race, because Isaac was the one that the Lord called, not Ishmael. Ishmael is the one that where the bastard race began. And now, a lot of people don't like to hear this. This is where Islam comes from the Vatican. Took these people and part African and part Hebrew. African plus Hebrew equals Arab, okay? And Arabic countries. That's where it came from. I mean, you can just trace the genealogy and see it. And all that was Africa until the Lord said, told the Jews to go in there, and he doesn't like their illicit sexual practices, so go in there, and their idolatry, worshiping this god of sex and all this stuff, go in there and kill them. And he tells them, listen, you're my own chosen people, but if you do that, he says, I'm going to kill you also. I'm going to take your land away. And what did he do? He sent a bunch of them were living in Germany, and the World War II happened, and there was millions of them that were slaughtered there. And millions of them have been slaughtered down through the ages. It's recorded in the Bible. And what does he say he's going to do to those that are not his chosen people, the human race that doesn't listen to anything that he says? You're in for slaughter. And a lot of you think that going to hell is groovy. Hell is just filled full of screaming people being tortured. And there's nothing groovy down there. There's no friends down there. Nobody has time or even a breath to talk or visit or to kick back, relax, to play billiards. There's no vending machines with beer in it or anything. It is no liquid whatsoever. No food, no rest. And you never are able to sit down. And it's fire on you all throughout eternity, and it's impossible to die. You're dying 1,000 deaths, and yet you cannot become unconscious. You're always conscious. All right, then what?
You must not imitate their way of life. Verse 4.
And that's what you see people doing. These very stupid girls watch these satanic, and it shows this motion picture that we have. It's a documentary. Shows these people are saying praise Satan and all these things, and it shows like hundreds of thousands of little teenagers out there raising their hands, and they're chanting back the same thing, and hallelujah, Hare Krishna. And then it shows them in the abortion parlors getting abortions in these little children's heads and their legs and everything. The result of the stupid little girls believing what Satan says rather than what the Lord says. To keep yourself holy and keep yourself chaste. You're not to be having sexual relationships. And they say that they're having them now at age 6 and 7 and 8 years old. That is just like millions of girls that age, because they think it's cool. And it shows them singing satanic songs, worshiping Satan. and they give their souls to Satan. And when they do, there's no longer any conviction for sin. And you'll see the picture, the motion picture. Okay, then what? A whole bunch of them saw it last night, and the report was is that they came back sobbing. They still probably are sobbing. They were sobbing when Sharon called her daughter, who's pregnant with another child. I think she has four of them now.
Yes.
And one more coming. And she saw the thing, and she couldn't even tell what she just was sobbing. She couldn't talk. And then Sharon called her at her house, and she was still sobbing. She couldn't get over it. And several of the sisters over at other areas, in the greenhouse and other areas, were sobbing. They couldn't even talk. They just kept saying, "I didn't know. I didn't know." Right, the world doesn't know, and that's why we are commissioned to make them know what they're getting themselves into. Because these young females and young boys are taught to have fornication, and that will send their soul to hell. And then on top of that, they're taught to have first-degree murder. And this is taught by the Vatican, the world system. They let this go on. But let there try to be somebody preaching the gospel on the street corner, and they arrest you for a public nuisance. They closed our church down in Los Angeles because we were telling people not to do those things, not to take drugs. And all the people on the Sunset Strip, these people that own these skin flick places and these nude bars and all that sort of thing, they were paying the police off. And they told them, "Look, arrest those people." And they arrested us by the hundreds. And they'd have me in the police car taking me to jail. And they'd be talking like Germans. "Well, Hans, what charges do you think we should put on them?" The other one would say, "Fritz, we could say that he was interfering with police officers. Or that he took a swing at us to do things like that." And I'm just sitting back there, and they're deciding what false charge to put on me. And then U.S. Marshals had picked me up when they were taking me from the Fayetteville jail down to the courtroom in Fort Smith when they said I wanted to kill a federal judge. I won the case. But they were saying, "Have you seen the new freeway yet, Tony?" And I'd say, "No." They say, "You want to see it?" Because they wanted, there was no traffic on it. And they says, "Maybe we could do away with him out here in the bushes. We could say that he attacked us, and we'd have a legitimate excuse to kill him." And I said, "Well, nobody's going to believe that, because I tell everybody not to have any violence, and that there's, how could I run with these chains on?" "So we can always take the chains off and say we trusted you, and that you wanted to come over and see this freeway, the new freeway, and then when we got here, you broke out of the car and started running, and so we shot you." Well, I said, "Well, I'm not going to run or anything." They says, "Yeah, well, we'll take you out of the car after we kill you and lay you on the road out in the bushes someplace to make it look like you were running." So this is the type of evil people that are in the world. They let incest and every kind of filthy thing go, anything that is satanic and demonic, but anything that is Christian, they want to kill it. And that's the day and age that you're living in right now, and I thought you ought to know. And it's very hard to explain these things if you haven't been there to watch it. But that's why I think this movie is so good. I haven't done a documentary on this stuff, but these people did, and it's fantastic because it really shows. And they just come out and confess. Elvis, they show him, and it's all the top singing stars that ever happened in the world in these last days here are saying, yes, they worship Satan. And they come right out, and they dress up with demonic faces on, and they're worshiping, you know, praising and chanting to him. And that's where this black music comes from. Everybody knows that black magic comes from Africa. And God says he doesn't want you doing the things that the Egyptians do. Well, what do you think an Egyptian is? That's Northern Africa. Okay, so let's go on.
Verse 4. You must obey all my regulations.
His, not the devil's, all right? His regulations. In other words, his rules and regulations, his laws. If you want to go to heaven, then what?
And be careful to keep my laws, for I, the Lord, am your God.
For I'm the one that made you, and I know what's right and wrong for you to do. I know what's best for you. Okay, then what?
Verse 5. If you obey my laws and regulations, you will find life through them.
Yeah, you'll live longer, and you'll have eternal life. So why do you want to die? Why do you want to do these stupid things that Satan is telling you to do that's going to destroy your mind, your body, your spirit, your soul, and damn you into a burning inferno for the rest of eternity? Why? Okay, then what?
I am the Lord. Verse 6.
Yes, I'm the one that knows. Okay, then what else?
You must never have sexual intercourse with a close relative, for I am the Lord. Verse 7. Do not violate your father by having sexual intercourse with your mother. She is your mother. You must never have intercourse with her.
Yeah, and you're violating your father if you do that, because that's your father's flesh. Because your wife and the wife and the husband are one flesh, and so if somebody's having sexual relationships with somebody with their mother, then they're violating their father. And you think you're going to get a pass with the Lord like that? He pulled the spirit out of you, and you'll never be convicted of anything the rest of your life. You wouldn't even get convicted over murder, because the Lord hardens your heart and makes you into a devil, one of Satan's vessels that he works in. And what else?
Verse 8. Do not have sexual intercourse with any of your father's wives.
With any of your father's wives. Amen?
Amen.
Any of them. In other words, don't even look at them with lust in your eyes. Because that's the same as committing adultery on your dad with one of your father's wives. Now, if your father has wives, I mean, he may just have a wife, but if he has two or more wives, don't commit adultery with any of them. Do not have sexual relationships with any of them, it says. Read that again.
Do not have sexual intercourse with any of your father's wives. For this would violate your father.
Well, if being a polygamist was against the law, then why is God protecting this man, a man's wives? Amen?
Amen.
Or standing up for a man to where his wives are not going to be violated by any of the children that may evolve from these marriages, all these marriages. One might be the son of one of the wives, and then another one might be the daughter of another one of the wives. Well, he's telling the sons, you might have like Gideon. Doesn't say how many wives he had, but it sure was more than one. Amen?
Amen.
Didn't tell how many daughters he had, but you're not to have sexual relationships, these sons, with any of these wives that he had. Like David's son had sexual relationships with his father's wives, and Reuben had sexual relationships with one of his father's wives before the law, but David's son was just following in David's footsteps. He had adultery with a wife, with somebody else's wife. Now, if a man has several wives, and according to the scriptures, and I preach the Bible, it is not adultery and it's not fornication if you have more than one wife in the Old Testament here. It's not adultery. So, but it is adultery when David committed adultery. He took Bathsheba, and then he sent the man to the front lines. It wasn't bad enough that he committed adultery with this other man's wife, but he sends the man out to the front lines so he gets killed. So he kills and commits adultery with the man's wife. Okay, so his son goes and commits adultery with his wife because I follow in my father's footsteps. There's the story that goes, this man was taking his father, his father took his son up into the mountain, and he was climbing the mountain and going over these ledges, and he said, now this is a real bad turn curve over here, son, so make sure that you be very careful around here. And the son said, oh, Dad, I really am very careful. Wherever you put your foot, that's where I put mine. I just, wherever you go, that's what I'm doing. You commit adultery, in other words, and I'll commit adultery with your wife. If you kill some person, I'll kill some person. And this son of David wanted not only to kill his dad, he didn't only want to kill David, he wanted his head on a silver charger, on a silver platter. And what did God do to him? He's riding through the woods on a mule one day, and all of a sudden his beautiful long locks got caught in the branches of a tree, and David's captain came by and shoved some spears inside of his body until he wriggled and screamed and died. But you got to be careful how you are around your sons and daughters and around people that are around you, because they're going to do what you do. Now, you take a mother that, or a daughter that's seen her mother having sexual relationships with one man after the other, coming into the apartment or their house, they're going to be same way. They're going to think it's okay because Mom did it. And Mom's God to them instead of God, because God tells you not to do it. Well, Mom had all kinds of guys, and they'd come in and they'd come and go. And one of them even told me that their mom had sexual relationships with, she had to pay a cab fee for a taxi. She'd linger out in the vehicle a little bit longer and say, well, you want to come upstairs and I'll take care of it with sex? Save the money? Sure, I guess so. And I've had one person after another tell me stuff like that. So, and then you'd see that they're very promiscuous. They lean towards that way. Most of them said they really wanted to become whores. Because after all, Mom was a whore. As a matter of fact, she was such a whore, she didn't even charge money for it. She's worse than a whore. She gave it away free. Okay, then what?
Bracket. I thought God didn't allow many wives. It says wives, W-I-V-E-S.
Mm-hmm.
And bracket. Verse 9. Do not have sexual intercourse with your sister or half-sister, whether she is your father's daughter or your mother's daughter, whether she was brought up in the same family or somewhere else. Verse 10.
Yeah, you might have had a half-sister that lives in Cleveland or someplace else. Like, for instance, I have a daughter in Cleveland, and my sons have never met that daughter. And she's in her 40s right now. And whether they knew her or not, they can't have sexual relationships with her. That's still their sister. Amen?
Amen.
Amen?
Amen.
All right. So it wouldn't matter if she was living in India or Philippines or someplace. She still cannot have sexual relationships with your sister. Amen?
Amen.
And here, right here in the United States, I've seen so many people that had sexual relationships with their brothers and sisters, and so. But that doesn't make it right. Here's God saying, don't do it, or he's going to kill you. All right, then what? That's a capital offense to do such a thing as that. Amen?
Amen. Verse 10. Do not have sexual intercourse with your granddaughter, whether your son's daughter or your daughter's daughter. That would violate you.
And you say, well, my God, who would do that? Well, there's reprobates in this world that would do that, to have sexual relationships with their grandmother or grandfather or their granddaughter or their grandson. I mean, the people are wicked today. And why would God put this in the Bible if it wasn't occurring? And it is occurring astronomically. Okay, then what else?
King James Version, verse 11. The nakedness of thy father's wife's daughter, begotten of thy father, she is thy sister. Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness.
You're not even supposed to look at her in any kind of lust, or uncovering her nakedness is the same as having sex with her. That's what that term means. That's why I say when Noah's son looked at him, that was, he had sex with his own dad as a homosexual affair with him. And it says that when Noah woke up, he knew what his son had done to him. Okay, so that term right there tells you that that's what that term means. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what else?
Verse 12. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's sister. She is thy father's near kinswoman.
That's your aunt. And then what else?
Verse 13. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy mother's sister, for she is thy mother's near kinswoman.
It's your aunt. Okay, then what else?
Verse 14. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy father's brother. Thou shalt not approach to his wife. She is thine aunt.
Right. A wife cannot... It's plain what the Lord is saying here. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Verse 15. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy daughter-in-law. She is thy son's wife. Thou
right.
shalt...
If your son has a wife, I mean, you're not to have sexual relationships with your son's wife. My God, this is lawlessness. Amen?
Amen.
Okay, then what?
Thou shalt not uncover her nakedness. Verse 16. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of thy brother's wife. It is thy brother's nakedness.
Right, it's your sister-in-law. Okay, then what else?
Verse 17. Thou shalt not uncover the nakedness of a woman and her daughter. Neither shalt thou take her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter to uncover her nakedness, for they are her near kinswomen. It is wickedness.
Right, and you see a lot of people today, they want, it just gives them an extra kick to have sexual relationships with a mother and daughter at the same time. The people are very satanically sick. They're possessed with the devil. Then what else?
Verse 18. Neither shalt thou take a wife to her sister to vex her, to uncover her nakedness beside the other in her lifetime.
Well, in other words, he's saying that isn't adultery or anything, but it's, you're not to do that because it would vex her. You're not to marry a woman and then marry her sister as well, because that would vex the sister. It's not saying because you can only have one wife, amen?
Amen.
It's just saying, no, but that would vex her, and so don't do that, or I'll kill you. Amen?
Amen.
You can't marry a woman and her sister. Okay, then what else?
Verse 19. Also thou shalt not approach unto a woman to uncover her nakedness, as long as she is put apart for her uncleanness.
Right, if that's the time of the month, you leave her alone. Okay, then what?
Verse 20.
And I didn't write this. The Lord is, this is coming from the Lord. And some people get scowls on their faces. Well, you can scowl all you want, Satan, you know, because you don't like to hear the word of the Lord. The whole world is full of this, and the world needs to hear it. Amen?
Amen.
And you think that you're so holy? All the people that are unholy are the ones that get scowls on their face over the word of God, or they just get so indignant, you know, like they're holy. Those are always the most unholy ones. Okay, then what?
Verse 20. Moreover, thou shalt not lie carnally with thy neighbor's wife to defile thyself with her.
No, no, that's adultery. You get stoned to death for that too. Okay, you can't have somebody else's wife. Okay, then what?
Verse 21. And thou shalt not let any of thy seed pass through the fire to Molech, neither shalt thou profane the name of thy God. I am the Lord. Verse 22. Thou shalt not lie with mankind as with womankind.
Right. In other words, you can't be a homosexual. All right? Man with man, woman with woman. Okay, then what?
It is abomination.
Okay, now, translations.
Translation, verse 11 through 22. Verse 11, do not have sexual intercourse with the daughter of any of your father's wives. She is your half-sister. Verse 12, do not have intercourse with your aunt, your father's sister, because she is your father's close relative. Verse 13, do not have sexual intercourse with your aunt, your mother's sister, because she is your mother's close relative. Verse 14, and do not violate your uncle, your father's brother, by having sexual intercourse with his wife. She also is your aunt. Verse 15, do not have sexual intercourse with your daughter-in-law. She is your son's wife. Verse 16, do not have intercourse with your brother's wife. This would violate your brother. Verse 17, do not have sexual intercourse with both a woman and her daughter, or marry both a woman and her granddaughter, whether her son's daughter or her daughter's daughter. They are close relatives, and to do this would be a horrible wickedness. Verse 18, do not marry a woman and her sister, because they will be rivals. But if your wife dies, then it is all right to marry her sister. Verse 19, do not violate a woman by having sexual intercourse with her during her period of menstrual impurity. Verse 20, do not defile yourself by having sexual intercourse with your neighbor's wife. Verse 21, do not give any of your children as a sacrifice to Molech, for you must not profane the name of your God. I am the Lord. Verse 22,
yeah, I am the Lord. I know what's right and wrong. Hey, listen to me, and I know what'll send your soul to hell and what won't send your soul to hell. So listen to what I'm saying for your own good. Well, you may think I'm depriving you of something, but I'm trying to deprive you of hell. Now, if you do any of these things, you're going to hell, and I want you to go to heaven. It's for your own good, all right? Then what else?
Verse 22, do not practice homosexuality. It is a detestable sin. King James Version, verse 23, neither shalt thou lie with any beast to defile thyself therewith, neither shall any woman stand before a beast to lie down there too.
You say, oh, that would never happen. What, you think all these dog and pony shows all over the country, all over the world? I mean, it goes on every day. This is, people pay to see things like that. It's part of today's pornography, okay? Then what, please?
It is confusion.
Yeah, anyone that does something like that in the next chapter tells what the punishment for doing all these things is. It is confusion. Both the animal and the female will be put to death, or the male. All right? They're to be stoned to death. Okay, then what?
Verse
and the same thing with all these other ones. You're to be put to death. All right, then in verse 19. I mean, chapter 19. What else?
Verse 24. Defile not ye yourselves in any of these things, for in all these the nations are defiled, which I cast out before you. Verse 25, and the land is defiled, therefore I do visit the iniquity thereof upon it, and the land itself vomiteth out her inhabitants. Verse 26, ye shall therefore keep my statutes and my judgments, and shall not commit any of these abominations, neither any of your own nation, nor any stranger that sojourneth among you. Verse 27, for all these abominations have the men of the land done, which were before you, and the land is defiled. Verse 28, that the land spew not you out also, when ye defile it, as it spewed out the nations that were before you. Verse 29, for whosoever shall commit any of these abominations, even the souls that commit them shall be cut off from among their people.
Right, they're going to die. So even if you get married to a woman and her, then her sister too, yes, you're going to die. Because I, the Lord, say so, and I'm not a liar. Okay, then what?
Verse 30. Therefore shall ye keep mine ordinance, that ye commit not any one of these abominable customs, which were committed before you, and that ye defile not yourselves therein. I am the Lord your God. Translation, verse 23 through 30. A man must never defile himself by having sexual intercourse with an animal, and a woman must never present herself to a male animal in order to have intercourse with it. This is a terrible perversion. Verse 24. Do not defile yourselves in any of these ways, because this is how the people I am expelling from the promised land have defiled themselves.
And some people may say, well, how about a female having relationships with a female animal? No, that's just as sick. Amen?
Amen.
That's just as sick, and you'll get the same reward, the evil reward for it. Okay, then what else? So people try to split hairs with God. You know, don't try it. Don't even try. Don't even think it. Then what else?
Verse 25. As a result, the land has become defiled. That is why I am punishing the people who live there, and the land will soon vomit them out. Verse 26. You must strictly obey all of my laws and regulations, and you must not do any of these detestable things. This applies both to you, who are Israelites by birth, and to the foreigners living among you. Verse 27. All these detestable activities are practiced by the people of the land where I am taking you.
Yeah, Africa. All right, Canaan land. The land of Ham, they call it, even to this day. Then what else?
And the land has become defiled. Verse 28. Do not give the land a reason to vomit you out for defiling it, as it will vomit out the people who live there now. Verse 29. Whosoever does any of these detestable things will be cut off from the community of Israel.
You'll be killed, and it specifies it even stronger in the next chapter. And what else?
Verse 30. So be careful to obey my laws, and do not practice any of these detestable activities. Do not defile yourselves by doing any of them, for I, the Lord, am your God.
All right, that was the last verse in chapter 18 of Leviticus, and now we're going to have some commentary.
18, verse 4 through 5. God promises life to all those who live according to His program, according to His commandments.
According to His law. Then what else?
The Hebrew expression for, quote, you will find life, unquote, refers to finding immortality and life more abundantly here on earth, which gives us contentment and enjoyment in life because we have peace of mind knowing that our souls are saved in the event that we go out to meet the Lord.
Well, you can't have peace in your soul if you know that you've sinned and that you're just waiting for the axe to fall. You're just waiting for your spirit to leave your body to go to hell. So to have a happy life, a full life, a life of peace and tranquility, you must keep the commandments of the Lord. There's no other way to have peace on earth, especially in a world full of chaos. Now, you see all these people on this video that we have, that they've all committed suicide early, they die of drugs and narcotics, that they have no peace. You can see they're big stars, but they just want to kill themselves and everything because they're sinning, and they're having free sex with everybody, and it doesn't make them feel happy. Because they know deep down in their soul there's a mechanism within people that know that spirit was put in there by God, and they know that they're sinners, and they know that there's no peace for the wicked. The wicked are like an angry sea that's filled with mire and sand and all sorts of garbage, and there's no peace in their soul or happiness or joy. It's just a real good feeling to know that your soul is saved, and that you're right with the Lord, and that you have the power within you to stay saved. Yeah, we never know when the Lord's going to take us out. And so it just makes good sense to just stay into His Word and keep His commandments. Because it's joyful. Some people may think, well, if I had all kinds of women, that would make me feel happy and everything. Well, before I was saved, I had all kinds of women, and it didn't make me happy. It just made me more and more bitter because I saw how wicked and evil some of them were. And to me, I just figured, well, just to have one around, I guess, would be good. Everybody needs a house pig to wash the clothes and iron them and keep the house tidy, but that got to be an imposition, too, so I just wanted to get rid of everyone like that and get me some maids. Well, I lived in an apartment in New York City, and I had these maids. There was a couple black maids that used to come in and take care of, clean the place. And I noticed that all my $15, $25 socks were missing every day. They were taking my socks home to their husbands. I figured that they deserved them more than I did. I'm the one that paid for them, but they figured that they weren't making enough money, you know, cleaning my apartment and all the other apartments in that apartment building. And so they'll just help themselves to my socks, and so I didn't like that either. So it was like, it's a vicious circle out in the world, I tell you. Yes, it's a vicious circle. Okay, then what?
Living life to its fullest is what we want. That can only happen when we're keeping God's commandments.
Yeah, you have no life if you're doing all these things, if you're lawless. Because you know that you're condemned by the law of God if you're lawless. Then what else?
While the personal moral standards in this section of Leviticus are restricted, God's plan offers freedom to not obey Satan any longer. This is beyond our wildest dreams. But what God restricts is sin. The paths of sin are truly restricted. When we obey God's standards, His commandments, we are free to discover life as God intended it to be. And His plan leads to everlasting life, and life more abundantly here on earth. Peace, contentment, through mature and satisfying relationships with the Lord and with others, I might add. 18, verse 6 through 18. So God condoned and instituted the holy estate of matrimony, or marriage, as the actual foundation of human relationship, and forbade anything that might destroy it, incest included, homosexuality included. Some societies in history have endorsed incestuous relationships. That happened before the law, and where there is no law, there's no transgression.
So they weren't guilty. But now, with the law, we are guilty if we do such a thing as any of these things that the Lord said not to do. Then what?
But now we have the law of God, which was given to Moses. We have the five books of the Bible, which are the law. Many of these people that would condone incest after the law suffered tragic consequences. The people in such societies have suffered physical, spiritual, and mental abnormalities, which lead eventually to social decline and also spiritual decline that winds up in hell and in the lake of fire. God's purpose to set boundaries for both spiritual, personal, and family life has always been to protect us from destruction in this world and eternal destruction in the world to come. God's desire is to build families that promote spirituality, salvation, healing, and wholesomeness among their members. 18, verse 20. Fidelity in marriage is the central theme to God's plan for society and family. No adultery is one of the Ten Commandments.
Right, to be true to your husband or your wife. That's fidelity. That's what fidelity means. That you only have eyes for your husband or you only have eyes for your wife. That's it. And No, and Sue and I were married. I never even looked at another woman. I had no desire to. She fulfilled everything that I could. I couldn't even dream that there was a female like that in the world that could fulfill every aspect of a wife. It was just, it was just, we'd marvel all the time, each of us, of how that there is a perfect wife, a perfect husband for everyone that keeps the commandments of the Lord. Okay, and then what?
Exodus 20:14. Quote, thou shalt not commit adultery. Unquote. Since the bond of marriage is the foundation of building both the kingdom of heaven and society here on earth, which we are to build the kingdom of heaven here on earth, adultery is a blatant violation of a community's trust or of God's Old and New Testament. Godly relationships are healthy relationships and require self-discipline, self-control, and the acceptance of self-imposed boundaries. But God didn't intend to deprive us of anything in marriage that is legal to God. God wants the marriage relationship to bring us joy and fulfillment, for us to be fruitful and multiply, that we attain the kingdom of heaven. I want to add something from chapter 17, verse 11. No blood, no atonement, no forgiveness.
If you don't have any blood, No atonement, there's no forgiveness for sins without the shedding of blood. Then what?
The blood. This is the clearest statement of the necessity of blood as it relates to sacrificial offerings. The life is in the blood. Life and blood were given upon the altar for the specific purpose of making atonement, or attaining reconciliation with God, salvation. Apart from the shedding of blood or giving a life, there was no atonement. This established ordinance is reaffirmed in the New Covenant in Hebrews 9:22. Quote, "And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without shedding of blood is no remission," unquote.
No forgiveness. So that's why all these Jews are living in sin. And you hear these modern day preachers say, okay, we'll take you to the sinner's prayer, and they don't ever say the blood of Jesus. Lord, wash me in your blood. They just say, oh Lord, I've sinned, come into me. And they don't say, take away my sins in your precious blood that you shed for me. And so, without the blood, there's no forgiveness. Then what?
The new covenant in Christ's blood fulfilled the requirements of the old covenant for redemption. The blood of Christ is seen as surpassing the blood sacrifices of the old covenant and eternally satisfying the requirements of a holy God. Hebrews 9:12, Genesis 15:10, Exodus 12:13. The blood of Christ is seen as surpassing the blood sacrifices of the old covenant and eternally satisfying the requirements of a holy God so long as the people continue on without sin. Leviticus 18:3. According to the doings of the land of Egypt where you once dwelt, you shall not do the things they do.
In other words, you lived in the world at one time. That's what it is now in the New Testament. You lived in the world, and you're not to do the things that the people of the world do. Now, you see all these Christian works. They got now Christian rap, you know. They got this Christian rap. You're not to be doing rap, because these Christians are trying so hard to be like the world. They become the world. And you see them just rocking and rolling in there. And they're just letting Satan, the world, enter into the churches. And they're doing, you know, chorus line work. They're kicking their legs up and down. These bunch of skeletons in there with their flesh over their body. Like, it's like a second-rate chorus line, you know, over at the Dunes Hotel or somebody, or over at one of these sideshows someplace. And it's nauseating because I know the Lord hates it. Okay, it's just like they're into entertain. They think they're entertainers. And what it is a bunch of hayseeds preachers that, you know, talk with the southern drawl like these. You can't even talk straight, like us northerners. Okay? Is you going to be born again? Are you born again? Well, I was born again, you know, several years ago. And here they're trying to be entertainers. It's just like looking at, you know, Dog Patch, you know, up there kicking their big logger boots, you know, up in the air. And you can tell they haven't taken showers. And the whole thing stinks. All right, then what else?
The redemption of the people from the land of Egypt involved not only bringing them out, see verse 1, but also the removal of Egypt and its idolatrous and pagan practices from the hearts of the people. The people became a nation dedicated to God and His holiness. God's deliverance acquired for Him a people for His very own, presenting a challenge to each person of the community. They have now become responsible to God, their Redeemer who saved them from slavery. The people must determine to live holy, godly lives.
Right, did you ever see Jesus carrying a chorus line with him and a bunch of hoochie-cooch hillbilly girls, you know, wiggling around? Well, that's what you see on supposed-to-be Christian TV today. This hillbilly Jan and Paul Crouch that are liars that say they're born-again Christians and are nothing more than a bunch of Catholic heretics. They throw these sideshows all over the place. It's just not Jesus. Did you ever think of Elijah or Elisha traveling with a chorus line like that? Or for that matter, even a large choir of people? No, none of them had any of these things. Amen?
Amen.
Or what about John the Baptist? He's out there eating grasshoppers and drinking honey, and all of a sudden he bursts out of the forest with this lewd-looking chorus line, you know, saying, "All y'all has to repent," slapping their hands together and stuff like this. It's mocking the gospel is what it really is, you know? And I just hate it. I despise it. The more I look at them, I know how hillbilly they are. They really think they're doing good. That's why the Lord stated that in the last days he'll be standing up there before him and say, "Lord, didn't we do a great and mighty work in thy name?" And he'll say, "Yeah, but I wanted to do the work in you. You did it your way. And what you were a bad bunch of people. I wanted to represent myself in your miserable hillbilly body, but you wouldn't let me. You just went a run amok, didn't you? Now depart from me, you wicked, go into everlasting darkness. You stinking hillbilly. Know it all, know nothing. Can't even talk right. It's talk, not talk. And it's right, not right." Okay, didn't you ever go to school? I just have to give you a shot. You disgust me so much that I just have to give you a little shot there, okay? Hillbilly. Okay, then what else? And that's what these Jan and Paul Crouch and 99% of these people, they've already converted to Catholicism. And they're just... they're saying that, you know, we can all, there's just all kinds of ways that you can get to God and get into heaven. When Jesus said, "I am the only way, there's only one name given among men whereby you must be saved," and that's Jesus. Not Hinduism or Buddhism or Mohammedism or Islam or Catholicism or any ism. Mormonisms, all the isms have to go out the window. It's just Jesus. Religion is of the devil. Is the devil, but salvation is of the Lord. Okay, then what?
The people must determine to live holy, godly lives according to the covenant relationship as the preamble for the Ten Commandments. See Exodus 22. Quote, "I am the Lord thy God, which have brought thee out of the land of Egypt, out of the house of bondage." Unquote.
Right, so, you know, the Lord pulls people. He doesn't want us to be like the world. He wants us to be exactly the opposite. Now, you see all these Africans getting up there and doing this rap music and everything, and here they've got that African rap music right on supposed-to-be Christian television. And they're all into incest and motherly this and motherly that and so on and so forth, and here they're dragging it in. Like they think that they're going to be able to win more souls to the Lord by being worldly. But the Lord says, keep yourself holy and separate from the world. Be the exact opposite from the world. What the world is doing is causing them to fall away into the world and to just flaunt it in front of everybody, no matter how disgusting and evil and rotten it is to those of us that really know the Lord. And so, you people, I hope you hear my tape. You disgusting bunch of wretched hillbillies. Wicked satanic beings. That's not representing the Lord or letting him represent himself in you, and you're going to be cast into hell if you don't stop it. I remember when I sent a letter, telegram to Jim and Tammy Baker because I could see they were going to hell in a handbasket. And I told him, "Look, you people better stop saying, 'I just got a message from the Lord that there's a wart on somebody's nose, and it's disappearing right now.'" I said, "Don't you know the government's going to say that you're nuts and have you committed to a mental institution?" And they stopped doing it, even though they did other wicked things, rotten things, and things that they weren't supposed to do, and went to prison for it. And they were committing homosexuality. That's what they tell me in prison. And that's what some of the people that were around them told me. And she was committing adultery, and he was as well. And so a friend of mine, that used to be a friend of mine, Gary Paxton, told me that he was having relationships with Tammy Faye Baker. And it just goes to show that these hillbilly people that have never really been around any place, they've never done anything, and they don't know what the world is like, I reckon. But I do. I was out in the world, and I know that what they're doing is worldly, all right? And that the Lord is punishing them for it, and they've all fallen away. They're all fallen away. Then what else?
Of specific concern in this chapter are proper sexual relations. 18 verse 6. To uncover his nakedness means to have sexual intercourse. That's why Noah's son, Ham, had the first black child, Canaan, because he had sexual intercourse with his own father. That's what it means in Hebrew to, quote, uncover his nakedness, unquote, or, quote, to look at his father's nakedness, unquote. That's why they are all sinners. That's why God wanted them driven out of Canaan, that part of Africa, to bring in people and make the land holy. 18 verse 22. Lie with a male. All homosexual relationships or lesbian relationships were strictly forbidden. See chapter 20, verse 13. Okay. Quote, if a man also lie with mankind, as he lieth with a woman, both of them have committed an abomination. They shall surely be put to death. Their blood shall be upon them. Unquote. The Lord tells us in the 19th chapter, verse 2, you shall be holy. And if you're not, you will die.
All right, praise the Lord. That was Leviticus chapter 18. I know a lot of black people that are born again of the Spirit, and it's the Spirit that gives us the power to not do these things. And so there's no difference between black and white, yellow, orange, and whatever color we are, or green, such as myself. You know, we have olive-skinned us Jews, and I see somebody having a little conniption here. There are green people who are olive-skinned. Isn't olives green? Yeah. And some olives are black, right? But that's the kind of skin we have, and it doesn't really make any difference. It's because we all have the same blood. But we must all have the same Spirit of the Lord in us if we expect to get into the kingdom of God. And once that's the Spirit of God is in our spirit, mingled with our spirit, then we have to continue keeping the Lord, staying, walking in that Spirit until the very end, because only those that continue walking in the Spirit till the end shall be saved. That right there shows you that once saved, always saved is a lie, a blatant lie from Satan. So let's not concentrate on the world and the things of the world, that this is the right way to go, because you can obviously see it isn't. They're all tormented out there. They're all killing one another. 40 million deaths, babies that they've murdered, first degree murdered. And let's keep these laws here on our heart all the time. And once you start slipping, get back into chapter 18 and 19 of Leviticus and see what the penalties are. They've never changed. Concentrate on the world. Think about the Word of God always, and you'll be like planted trees in the Holy Spirit. And until chapter 19 this evening, Lord willing, God bless you, and praise the Lord. Amen.